Christmas is coming. The goose is getting fat. Please put a penny in the old man's hat. The nursery rhyme, if that's what it is, however dated in some regards, how many of us eat goose at Christmas? That points to an experience which is very much with us still. For even if it isn't the chore of fattening a goose, when Christmas is coming, many of us feel and are weighed down by the to-do list. Shopping for gifts, preparing menus, ordering food and drink, arranging visits to and from family and friends, writing Christmas cards, whether e-cards or hard copy, going to concerts or parties, extra services at church. The to-do list feels endless. The press of tasks like those is also distracting. I sometimes wonder how much of it is to stave off the impact of the enveloping darkness of December days. But whatever the overt or covert motives may be, all of us can easily distract ourselves from the most important task of this season, namely preparing ourselves. And in preparing ourselves, a most important question arises. Preparing ourselves, how and for what? It's facing questions like that that the hullabaloo preceding Christmas doesn't help. Now, in the organ aisle of our church stands the Jesse tree. We call it the Jesse tree through Advent because each week, and I'll get to it later today, we decorate it with figures who or which have a part to play in the long story of God's special involvement with humankind as Creator and as Savior. So the first figures are Adam and Eve, and, alas, the serpent, by whose nefarious agency everything went wrong, as the story goes and as Christmas carols relate. Then come the patriarchs, then Jesse's youngest son David, then the prophets, and finally the parents of Mary, and with her the Baptist John, and Joseph, of course. Finally, at the top of what 4 weeks later is a Christmas tree, come Jesus and the angels who announce his birth. The gradual decoration of the tree reminds us of God's gradual, millennia-long, working on and within the human scene to bring to pass something both hoped for, yet also unexpected, something familiar, yet strange, someone known, yet unknown, namely God's hidden self in our midst as one of us. A magnum mysterium, a great mystery indeed. And as part of our accessing that great mystery, Advent invites us to step back from the customary habits and obsessions, however comfortable or enjoyable they may be. Advent invites us to divert our eyes from the allure of material abundance and gaze within ourselves and to gaze so far as we can into others and ask, who am I? Who are you? To ask, why am I? Why? Why are you? For the world in which we live today, and which is our context, doesn't tell us the truth about ourselves. Its endless chatter is deceiving. So much of the messaging is that each of us is just a flesh and blood cog in a socio-economic apparatus of material consumption. Is our value determined by our economic impact as service provider, as consumer? The messaging seems to be, I consume, therefore I am. Really? Is that really true? Is that what being human is for? It's only very recent generations which have been able to live like that and to promote and receive a message like that. And if we buy into it, you know something, as far as the great sweep of human experience is concerned, we're the odd men out. Because that isn't really true about us as human beings. Is it? Advent invites us to burrow down to other more profound issues and insights about being human. Why are you? What are you for? Whom are you for? Do you live your life and relate to others as someone who consciously, with intention, lives for God and lives for your brothers and sisters as God is known and as your brothers and sisters are valued in light of the life, teaching, death, and resurrection of Jesus of Nazareth? Is that what you are for? Now, Christianity says, yes, that is what you are for. And that is what everyone else is for. And therefore, we're all on an equal playing field. And none of us is above the other in terms of ultimate purpose and destiny. It is the great leveling fact about our human experience, which in so many ways we try and evade and deny and, you know, compromise. But that is the question which I like to think that every one of us in this congregation asks her or his self when you finally, if you finally come to in the morning? That kind of question. At least passing through your mind as an agenda. Now, I said a moment ago there are lots of ways to use this season of Advent to ready ourselves for Christmas. And there, you know, doubtless there are lots of things we do have to do. I get that. I've got that challenge myself. But I suggest that if we don't stop to ponder, who am I? Why am I here? Whom am I for? Then we'll miss the value of God's presence to and for us in Jesus Christ. But we won't see it, we won't grasp it, and we certainly won't feel it. For those are in fact the questions and also the answers wrapped up in the swaddling clothes of Christmas. In other words, ignore those questions and we'll miss out on why the Feast of the Incarnation, Christmas, is worth celebrating at all, except as a cultural inheritance, a social habit, an economic shot in the arm. We'll fail to grasp why God with us, Emmanuel, that's what that word means, matters. And we'll be just like everybody else outside the church for whom God with us doesn't matter. Evading or ignoring those deep questions, well, not only would that be a missed opportunity, it would be a spiritual tragedy. So I urge you, take Advent seriously so that you might greet Christmas joyfully. Amen.